The final aliyah of Parshas Vayishlach is filled with psukim that are similar in nature to what we spoke about in the previous aliyah, in that it's not obvious to us why they are significant, and yet we find the opposite attitude in the Svarim. So, for example, Rabbeinu Bachya writes that based on Kabbalah, these psukim, which list the generations from Esav, are as important as Yichud Hashem, and the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in Gimel Nun, has a big discussion of these psukim and the fact that we have to understand their importance in distinction to Menashe. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Zof Tzadi Tes talks about how he was Mezalzo. He made fun of these psukim and said, why is it that Moshe didn't have anything better to talk about than these generations? And we are to understand that they are equal in importance to all the psukim of the Torah. Rav Volba, in his comments on Chumash, notes that there are actually big secrets regarding the future that are embedded within these psukim and that are hidden within the listings. The Ramchal had commented that if somebody is passing on a diamond, so he will wrap it up in plain wrapping so people won't know what it is. And presumably here too, there are messages about the future which we don't find that the attention is being called to them, but we have to know how to look and how to appreciate it. So just to call out some of the ramazim and some of the allusions that have been identified in the psukim, and there are really many, many more, but just to make note of a few. So here in Pasuk Chaf, so the Pasuk describes Eilev and Eseir, Hachari Yoshvei Haaretz, Lotan V'Shoval V'Tzivon V'Ana. So they are described as Yoshvei Haaretz. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos and Daf Peches Mor Aleph tells us that means that they were experts in the land. And the Torah Tumimah comments that that means they knew how to assess what kind of land was needed for what purposes, and therefore the land was assessed based on that. And he understands that that has practical implications for the fact that there's a prohibition of Hasagas Gvul, in this case, the literal Hasagas Gvul of moving around borders, and that has been used in other contexts less literally. And as he explains, this reflects the fact that land was divided by people who had an understanding of what its needs were for, and that's why there are rules as far as how it should be preserved in that format. And to look to Pasuk Chaf Beis here, so this is the Pasuk that reflects back on the previous Aliyah where we commented on the unexpected significance of that Pasuk. Here we're told, Ve'yuvne Lotan Chari Ve'hemam V'achos Lotan Timna, that the sister of Lotan was Timna, who the previous Aliyah tells us about her status as a Pilegesh, and we discussed everything that came about regarding that, and the fact that she brought about Amalek. So here, Rashi comments on Pasuk of Dalet that all of the surrounding listings are really here because of this. And Rashi Pesach Frank notes that no one questioned why it was that the Alufim are listed, and that's because they're necessary to establish the generations of Edom, to know the halachic status regarding that. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in that discussion that we noted, observes that here, this is to make another halachic point, and that is to save the lives of innocent people regarding the obligations towards Amalek, that this would tell us that there was another family that was intertwined with Amalek, that's also called by that name because he was a prominent ancestor, but they're not the same nation of Amalek that we are commanded to wipe out. So to look a little bit further, if you look towards Pasuk Lamed Aleph, so here we find the Eila Hamlachim Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom Lefnei Mlach Melech Lefnei Yisrael. And regarding this pasuk, so the Rambam comments again in the Mor Nevuchim that these kings were not from the family of Esav, and they were made miserable. And this is in order to emphasize the point that it's very difficult for a king to preside when he's not from that population. And this helps us to understand the halacha that we have regarding the king of the Jewish people, that he has to be mikarev achecha, that we cannot appoint a king that is ish nachri, that is not from that nation, and this is to give us context and to understand that. It's also noted by the Mariel Diskin that sometimes we find that names of cities are given and sometimes names of fathers are given. And the Maharal Diskin comments that there's a machlokas regarding Gittin. The poskim talk about whether we need the name of the father without the name of the city, or the name of the city without the name of the father, etc., etc. And the cloud basically is that whatever is more well known, it serves as the identifier. And here again, we find that Moshe is embedding within the psukim of the Torah aspects that will be relevant to help us understand halachos in the future, and yet another example of the many types of significance that we find surprising us in the Saliyah. And to look to a pasuk Lamed Hey, so the pasuk reads, "Vayamas Husham vayimloch tachtov Hadad ben Bedad hamake es midjan b'sde Moav b'shem Miro avis." So this king Hadad ben Bedad, Revolba has a comment that this is an example of a name meaning something, that Hadad is a lashon of simcha, but it's not a pure simcha, but rather it's a type of holus, because it's followed by the next day by Bedad, by being alone. And therefore there is a remez in that name as well. We look to Pasuk Lamites, there it says, "Vayamas Bal Hanan ben Achbor, Vayimloch Tachtov Hadar, Vishem Iro Pa'u, Vishem Ishto, Mehitavel, Bas Matred, Bas Mezov." So here, this king, there is a medrash that's quoted in the Ilana Dechai, it's discussed in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, that in the time of the Mashiach, there will be a king who will make zeros that won't be good for him or for his people. But afterwards will come Mashiach. And the significance of that requires clearly further explanation. In the Sefer Tiferes Shimshon, as the Torah of Shimshon Pincus, he has quite a lot to say about this. And he notes that perhaps the idea there's a remez to Mashiach here is contained in the fact that regarding Hadar, it doesn't say that he died, even though in Divrei Hayamim it does, but here is a remez that's not referenced. And also the idea that Hadar is a remez to Yofi, to beauty, which is the idea that we find by the Esrog, and Esrog represents the heart. And here his wife's name is mentioned, so that is a indication of shlemus, of completion. And all of this is a part of the system of Ramazim and allusions that we find here. And the next pasuk reads, "Ve'ele shmos alufi esav l'mishpachosam l'mkomosam bishmosam aluf timna aluf alva aluf yuseis." So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein comments that here they're all counted again in their places. Rashi notes they are called after their countries. And Moshe comments that there are some people who have chashivas, but that is only contingent on where they are, and it can change with the place, while others have that which is kavua that comes with them, and therefore the message is to recognize the difference and to strive for actual genuine chashivas that comes along with you. So to look to the last pasuk here in the parsha, pasuk Mem Gimel, "Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, Eila Aluf Adom, Lamosh Vosam, Bi'aretz Achuzasam, Hu Esav Avi Adom." So here, this reference to Magdiel, so we're told, Rashi, this is a reference to Rome, so Soloveitchik noted that it's not necessarily exclusively that, but whatever is the most powerful of nations at the time, that is being alluded to here. And Rav Teichtal, the author of the Sefer Em HaBanim Smecha, who had gone through the Holocaust and became a Zionist, in his Sefer Mishneh Sachir, so he comments about this, that what we read about here is essentially telling us that the Ummah Sa'olam, they rise and fall suddenly, they have their ups and downs. But for the Jews, it's essentially a steady path, and that even though it seems like there are these vicissitudes, which there certainly are, but there is a direction. This is all leading to Mashiach, and this is something certainly for us to appreciate and to take note of during the very difficult times that we are having now, and that there is ultimately a direction towards redemption, and that the fight towards evil is a part of that process. And as Rav Teichtal notes, that the juxtaposition here, the smichus ha-parshios of this parsha of Vayishlach to the beginning of Vayeshev, is to indicate that that is indeed the direction ultimately heading towards redemption, and as we maintain the faith in that and the recognition that that is our ultimate path, we pray that that will indeed soon be the case.